Hello, welcome to NC Asian American Ministries Podcast. My name is Sammy Ju, and I'm your host. Today is episode 2 with Alex Stowers. Hello, Alex. How are you?
I'm doing okay. Hi, Sammy.
I'm good, good. And I'm so thankful to get to hear your personal story in the previous episode.
Thank you.
Today, we want to know more about your current ministry. Mm-hmm. So, are you ready?
Yes, I am.
Awesome, great. Question number one. So, tell us about your role at ministry.
Mm-hmm. So, here as the ministry assistant in Asian and also Hispanic ministries, I do a variety of things. So, providing support means that I'm going to take care of the daily needs as they arise. And so, no 2 days look exactly the same. My main role is to connect the churches to the many resources that we provide here in the convention. Things like translations on certain resources that we have, planning and managing events, and taking care of the daily in and out. Being available here to the churches when they call, when they have questions, when they need, directing them to the places that can help them. And be involved also as we look at the vision of what the ministries are, you know, what will happen in the next year. A lot of planning goes into that. Mm. So, being available and serving them. Mm. That's my main role.
Wow, that's great. Well, it's been about a year and a half for me to be in this role, to work among Asian churches as Asian ministries consultant. And Alex, personally, I really appreciate your help, because Asian ministries have lots of things to do.
Yes.
And there are lots of needs mm-hmm. among Asian churches. Mm-hmm. So what needs do you see among Asian churches in North Carolina?
Mm. So, I'm a ministry assistant, and I get to sit in on such a variety of meetings and take notes and, give feedback as I can. One of the things that strikes me as one of the first, a primary need that I see, and of course I'm a connector, so I connect this also to other needs I see in the other ministry I work with, in Hispanics. But I think that one of the most pressing things that we need is for the first, and this is an area that's real dear to my heart, is for the first and second generations to connect.
Mm. Right.
Okay. I'm an immigrant, mm. and so I see how coming into a new place offers a little bit of a disconnect, because first and second generations, or just generationally speaking, there's always a generation gap. I don't care where you live. And you add to that living in a different culture than the one that's your own, your mm-hmm. native culture. And there are additional challenges that come with that. So a pressing need, I would think, is for the first and generations to connect with each other mm-hmm. in a culture that is radically different than their native one. Mm-hmm. Because it presents itself just the right environment to see things so completely different mm-hmm. from one generation to the next. For them to connect at a spiritual level and then to see what they can do for the kingdom. Again, you know, I'm not a consultant, I'm a ministry assistant. I think that the first and the second generation need to meet each other at the point of their need. Mm. I think they both have a need, coming into something like this. Whether the second generation is actually born here or comes at a very young age, mm-hmm. There are needs there, very real needs that differ from the culture in which that they live in. Mm-hmm. And the Bible calls us to pass on our faith to the next generation.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And the reason I believe that this is the biggest need is because solid Christian labors are desperately needed.
That's right.
And if my mother passed away, if I didn't pick up that torch and keep going, then what would happen? And so one of the ways that you you don't just get up one day and just, you know, read a book, here, you're a leader. But passing that on and seeing what that looks like daily from one generation to the next, that's probably, in my opinion, one of the best ways to do it. Mm. And so, yeah, passing the torch, first to second generation, connecting spiritual level and seeing what can we really do. I think that's something that is personal and that only they can work out together. Mm. That's big.
Yeah, that's right. In Asia Ministries, we have four objectives.
Yes, we do.
So A, B, C, D.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
A is advancing gospel proclamation.
Mm-hmm.
B, developing disciple-making strategy.
Mm-hmm.
And building.
Building, okay.
Building disciple-making strategy. And C is what you just mentioned.
Yes.
That. So
connecting.
C is connecting first generation, second generations for the Great Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And D is a developing leadership pipeline.
Mm-hmm.
So that's definitely a huge need among Asian American churches and even other ethnic churches as well.
Everybody needs that. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Thank you for mentioning that. Next question. Can you share exciting stories what God is doing through your ministry, your ministry?
Okay. Well, absolutely. So, in the year and a half that I've been in particular with Asian Ministries, I've been here longer, but with Asian Ministries, I really feel like God is moving on the hearts of second generations to lead.
Mm.
Yeah, I've, through some of the events that we've had and different opportunities, I've had chances to meet with them. And there are some initiatives too that are being implemented, you know, right in our area to meet the needs of Asians and Asian churches. And so I just see here that there's growth, not just among the Asian population in the U.S., but in our state.
Mm.
And I think God is working to grow those that will lead those that are coming to our state. There's some new networks that are getting started.
Mm.
It's conversations about that. How do they, where do they fit in? You know, the new generation, the young generation, and what can they do to serve as leaders? That really, from the moment that I went to some of the first events, it struck me how there are very young people available and willing to be a part of that and to say, what can I do? Where do I fit in? And so I've seen that. And so I think that here within our Asian ministries, we're doing things to meet, in order to serve the needs, to equip and to empower those that are looking for ways to serve and to be leaders. We have seen just a couple of miles from here, an Urdu church plant.
Pakistani
mm-hmm. church plants that is led by one of our Asian field coordinators.
Mm-hmm.
This preacher travels weekly
mm-hmm.
from his home in the High Point area
mm-hmm.
to come and have church here, worship
mm-hmm.
in a completely different language.
Mm-hmm.
That's exciting
mm-hmm.
To see that right here, literally around the corner from where we are. And so we have Burmese churches, and this really has touched my heart in a very powerful way. Leaving the comfort zones of their church, of their congregation, in a language of English that is not their first language, and go out from their location and try to reach the population at large. That challenges me. This speaks volumes to me and helps to encourage and challenge me to self-evaluate. Because if my Burmese brothers and sisters are risking rejection and using a language that doesn't come easy to them to evangelize the majority population, then what are we, who are not strangers
right.
to this language, doing in our neighborhoods,
right.
in our community, and in our churches. God is definitely moving in Asian ministries.
Amen. Wow. That is powerful. Now, the different question is, what are some challenges you faced or are facing at your ministry now?
Well, language is definitely the first one for me. It's a challenge because I really care about people. And I'm excited that I would be given the opportunity to serve in with Asian ministries with all these different cultures. And so there's this desire in me to be able to communicate with them. And I don't think that the average person really thinks about that. You know, I think that they think about Asia and everything's lumped together. And there's so many languages, so many people, so many beautiful groups of people created by God. And so language is such a challenge because I cannot easily speak to them. In some of my other ministries, you know, there's a lot of different countries represented, but all the same language. And so that is a challenge for me. I want to be able to do whatever it takes to meet their needs. And without communication or easy communication, that's hindered. And so that's a challenge. It's my wish also that we would be able to provide resources, materials in their native, their heart language. And that's difficult. There are so many heart languages. Which one do we concentrate on without then leaving somebody else out? So that presents a challenge. The other one is to contextualization. That is so important. So even if I look at material, so I was able to give them material, but if it's just a translation of something that we put out in English, it's probably not going to be contextually relevant to their people group. And so that always presents a challenge. I want to be sensitive to their needs. And so for me, having so many, I just want to learn them. I'm a learner also. And so I want to learn about all of them so that I can meet the needs of those people. And I really wish that that we could do more in that area.
Most of our listeners are younger generations.
Right.
And we really emphasize on discipling the next generation Asian Americans. Now, how does it look like to disciple next generation?
Well, I think that when we think about discipleship and we think about disciple making, I think that we make it a little bit harder. We make it sound more difficult than it is. When I think about disciple the next generation, the first thing that comes to my mind is stories. Stories, yeah. I think that discipling happens through stories. And when I think about the Bible and I think about how that was handed down at the beginning of time, it was done through stories. And so I think that we tell stories. I think we share about the values and ideas that we hold, that we believe. And it starts in the home. It really does. It starts in the home with parents telling stories from the time that they're small, that they're infants. And through these stories that we tell, whether we're using the Bible or stories in our own lives, we are sharing the great story of Christ, really, if we're believers. And so parents sharing their faith with their children, talking about it, about their daily life, how it should be lived out, bringing everything back, sharing the what, the how, and the why as we live our lives daily, bringing everything back to the central theme of the gospel, and providing a biblical world view to our youngest people. It's not a formula. It's not a step one, two, three. I don't think it happens that way. You pass down your faith just like you pass down so many other things in life, language or food or culture. Our younger generation needs to see us living out what we claim to believe. They need to see us reading scriptures, praying privately, confessing our sins, sharing our faith of God with other people. All of these things, they need to see it. And then as they see us doing it and as they're growing, we invite them to join in the journey. We invite them to do the things that we do. We don't cast them aside and wait because they're not old enough. And so we have models of that in the Bible, you know. There's a lot of books written, but I really feel like many times all we need to do is pick up the Bible and say, well, how did they do it back then? And it was through stories, and it was through that daily living it out. And as you do that and you share that and you invite them into the journey, this leads these times of prayer that went or private, that you continue to do private, to now be done corporately in your home, giving them opportunities to lead in a time of worship. You know, some of the sweetest times in my own home were when, you know, we were gathered together and I would say to my oldest son, you play the guitar, you lead us in something. And then the other one would share something that happened in their life, you know, whether it's something about school or their friends. And then as we're talking, well, how do you handle that? And then parents share their wisdom. And it really is sharing life. And you model it. And reading through the Bible together, independently, what's God doing in your life? It's not that hard. It does take intentionality. But it's not that hard. We get busy is the problem, and we have these things to do. But that's what I believe. When you do that, then friends share with their other friends, like, well, you know what we're doing in our home? And that's how, is that what you're doing? Well, can I come and maybe invite a friend? You know, we're going to be doing this. And you share your faith the way you share everything else in life. If it's natural, if it's real, if it's genuine, that's, in my opinion, how it happens.
Well, thank you for sharing your insight on how powerful the gospel intentionality, the gospel saturated story that is lived out and through the daily living, starting from family, that can be sporadic, contagious to the other communities to come in. That's great. My last question for you is, what is the key strategy of your ministry? What makes your ministry successful in God's eyes?
Okay, that's a really good question. So, in my role, and you already just mentioned one of the words, I try to be intentional. That's it, right there. Intentionality in serving. When I think of my job here at the convention, and in ministry at large, inside and outside these doors, it is my desire that as I serve our churches, our people, the people that I come into with unity of mind. It's my desire that the churches, the church body would know that we are here at the Baptist State Convention because of them and for them. And that they have a large staff here at the Baptist State Convention of North Carolina that's available to them. Connecting our churches with many of the resources that we provide in the building and through our associations and other organizations that are out there. We are all together working for the same purpose. And it's really reflected in life. At the end of the day, I want to know that I served those that came here in the Baptist State Convention or outside with Ephesians 4, 1 through 6 in mind. So it talks about humility. It talks about gentleness. it talks about those that we're serving with that are in the body of being of one mind and of one accord. And if we are able to do that and be intentional in that, then to me, that's success.
Great. Well, thank you, Alex, for sharing your insights.
Thank you, Sammy, for having me.
Well, listeners, if you want to hear more podcasts from us, find NC Asian American Ministries Podcast at your podcast and subscribe it. You can listen to our weekly podcast update. Thanks so much for listening, and I will see you in the next episode.